Hey, this is Enrique from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook and give us a rating on iTunes. Popping your geek every week.
Be quesadilla, the Chipotle chicken loaded griller, the chips and salsa, Cool Ranch tacos, the double decker taco, the double tostada, the fiery Doritos Locos taco, and the grilled mini stuffed, the XXL stuffed burrito. Sorry.
Oh, I think I'm.
So, okay. Is Brian, this the stuff that's you're ruining stuff.
you forgot the power menu burrito.
And the power menu burrito. As of the time of listening to this, these will all be dead. Yeah.
I will remember you.
These are all very popular items that Taco Bell is killing.
Wait, why? Because I heard a little bit about this.
I don't know
why.
They're
taking a bunch of stuff off their menu. But
obviously, they're not popular enough.
I don't know. I feel like people order. I order the double decker taco almost every time I go.
Are they trying to like upscale? Is Demolition Man happening?
I feel personally attacked by this. Because like three of my like favorite staples
the beefy
are gone.
Mini quesadilla is also extremely good, and it's only a dollar. I know people like the fiery Doritos loco tacos. Lisa loves the power menu. The XX grilled stuffed burrito was good in Cajun. These are menu items that I feel like, and they just got rid of some.
Yeah, well, they are trying to make way for some more vegetarian options.
That's
so
good.
I think they were trying to clear their menu
of
lower sales items, which I'm shocked the double decker taco's on there.
I mean, it's like the bunk bed of tacos.
It's like when you want like
delicious.
More than just a taco,
yeah.
But not that much more.
It's like it's got creamy with the beans, and it's got crunchy, and it's got soft with the tortilla. It's really, really, really good. I don't understand. I mean, I feel like I should call Shaq.
I think it's definitely
we'll do something for you.
Well, it was Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon were the ones that like debuted the double decker taco.
Personally, as somebody who's trying to go a little more vegetarian, I appreciate that they're expanding their options that way. But at the same time, Taco Bell is like,
but
aren't they all basically combinations of kind of the same kind
of
ingredients?
Meat, beans.
Can't they just keep a massive menu?
Chicken and steak.
Yeah.
They got like four things.
Why did they have to get rid of stuff off the menu?
I don't
it's
know.
All kind of
well,
the
it's
same
like
stuff.
I think they're adding black beans.
Gross.
As their
what's wrong
vegan
black beans?
Option.
They're pretty disgusting.
Black beans are
I don't
awesome.
Know. I think they're better than
I love them more
they're
than
not.
Bra- or
they're not.
Yeah.
They're not better than
we fundamentally disagree on this, and I'm sorry.
I always get black beans.
I am sorry for
like Cafe Rio.
I usually always get black beans.
Yeah, black
white
beans.
You.
Thank you. See?
And the non-white in you? I don't know.
What's wrong with you two?
Yeah, I know.
how do people don't like black beans?
They're fine.
They're awesome.
They're fine.
I guess you prefer, what, pinto?
Yeah.
What, is that the
like, if I'm offered pinto or black beans, I'm always going black beans.
There's nothing wrong with pinto.
That's okay. You don't like ranch or
I love ranch.
Or, no, I'm talking about
no,
Lisa.
No, talking about me specifically.
You don't like ranch?
How do you know this?
Oh, yeah,
you know
true.
By the way. Welcome to Geek Pop. I am Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
And Enrique.
I'm sorry. Pinto beans just have more flavor. I mean, black beans are very bland.
I feel the exact
bitter.
Opposite.
We were just talking
that's
about
that's
how
okay,
like,
but you're wrong.
They're good.
It's okay.
You know what?
Doesn't make them bad.
You know,
they
like
are
more about
just
black
flavorful.
Beans is the texture. It's got a little bit tougher
firmer,
skin.
Yeah.
It's got that mealy
mm-hmm.
kind of like
it tastes
right.
better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like they're tougher and they're you know they're just whatever. They're more earthier taste.
You know what is black bean?
Now
hate.
That's not to say they're bad.
Sure.
They're
that's what you said.
Not as good.
You said you hated them and
they're
bad.
Not as good. I mean, I think a majority of people will be like, yeah, pinto beans.
Well,
fuck
here
black
on
beans.
Geek Pop, if you're not thrilled about
it.
Something, you hate it.
I would have to say we're split 50-50 on this. So yeah. I feel like it's not a majority. It's going to be more closer to 50-50.
Also, Lisa and I are just better than you guys. So come on.
I don't think Lisa should get a vote a lot of times because she doesn't like ranch.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
that
does put you down a peg.
Right?
Wow.
But you know,
speaking from people that eat mushrooms,
you've had,
wow.
Well,
there you
oh
go.
My God, mushrooms are the best.
They're
what are you
disgusting.
Talking about? Mushrooms are fucking amazing.
No.
What are you talking
about? You see what I'm working with here? I don't like mushrooms or ranch.
They're gross.
Mushrooms are amazing.
What? Mushrooms
shiitake
are disgusting.
And like those portobellos. And
yeah,
like
I had this conversation with her, I think this is the last week. I'm like, well, what about other kinds of mushrooms? Because
it's a whole kingdom.
Right.
There is. And there is one type of mushroom
yeah.
I have eaten, and I do kind of like.
Yeah, I think you.
But it's only in one Thai dish that I get.
Are those the long, thin ones?
It was like those. I thought it was like thicker cabbage. Is how I describe
it. You thought it was cabbage?
Well, yeah, because it was like a leaf or something. It wasn't like long and thin.
You've now lost your vote in the vegetable war.
I think you're talking about some kind of vegetable.
No, it's not.
Did you ask him if it was mushroom?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, those are like sort of frilly kind of looking. I don't know the mushroom names, but you know, I think I know what you mean.
A mushroom that would remind you of cabbage.
Because I think I've had pho that has something like that, where it's sort of like ruffly.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, but there's no mushroom. I've had a lot of mushrooms that is remotely cabbage-like.
Well, obviously you haven't had this all, one, you haven't so had the you're cabbage wrong.
Mushroom. Pretty, yeah.
The cabbage room.
Made from fresh
cabbage. You actually let them mold off the cabbage and just grow off there. Okay. So Taco Bell's getting rid of some of our favorite fucking menu items, which is really weird. I'm going to, they did this a couple months ago. They took off the Mexi Melt. They're like, oh, it's on the menu anymore, bro. And then the guy was like, but tell you. If you just ask for it. And he was like, blank, blank, and blank. And with pico, we'll make it for you. And I don't even remember what it was anymore.
It was it's the
like,
beefy quesadilla with pico.
Maybe they'll start going like
I just needed
menu.
To crush your hopes and dreams. Sorry.
How
like,
was that?
It'll be like In-N-Out where you just have to know to ask for animal style or chopped chilies or mustard fried and like,
maybe.
Say, hey, man.
I mean, how hard is it to put some beans on a tortilla and wrap it around a fucking taco, right? It
can't be that hard. I mean, imagine most of the things are made of similar ingredients, which is all the more reason why I'm like, why drop things off the menu? Just make it huge.
So well, in the double deckers,
because when the menu gets too big and there's too many options,
too many choices, yeah,
it gets harder for people to decide.
In fast food,
that's
yes.
actually a very fair point. That's a a lot of In-N-Out selling point is
yes.
that it's just like
In-N-Out
things.
In-N-Out's the extreme though. I think
they're
like we only have burgers, fries, and you know.
Hey,
drink.
They added hot chocolate again last year.
I think that falls
amazing.
In the beverage or the drink.
They never had hot chocolate.
They had hot chocolate. A long time ago, way back when they had it, and then
in
they took
respect,
it off the menu, and now it's back.
They're taking stuff off the menu. Not happy about it, but what are you gonna do? I gotta imagine it's partly cost too. A tortilla and a taco is probably
they spent too much money on that hotel,
but it costs more. No,
they have to cut corners.
Don't
more.
You take that hotel
did you happen
in
to go
vain.
To that by
what?
Did you happen to go to that by any chance? Like it was right around the corner from where you stayed. This
Taco Bell hotel.
It was right there. I thought it was
in
Palm Springs.
Yeah. Not the hotel. The like the big Taco Bell in Vegas.
Oh, the big special Taco Bell in Vegas.
I didn't even know that was a thing in Vegas.
What makes it special?
Yeah, we.
It's got sounds like.
Bigger. Just
talked
about it.
I think it has alcoholic drinks in it.
Yeah.
And it's got like
menu
different menu items that you can't find at other ones. Not quite like testing.
I thought that was the hotel in Palm Springs.
No, no. There's a
mega Taco Bell.
Yeah. It's like a fancy.
It's Taco Mecca.
It's a thing. It's right there, I believe, by Game Works.
I honestly did not remember about that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's all right. Las Vegas is a big city.
Yeah.
Not that big.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Big enough. I don't know.
Isn't the actual strip like not in the city proper too?
What?
I've
like
heard
the
that
heart
like
of the city. What are you talking about?
No, I've heard that it's technically outside of the city limits, which is why there's all the gambling there. Because I don't know. I could
that
be talking about my
worst urban legend I've ever heard.
I remember hearing somewhere,
the
and it could be entirely
state
false.
Of Nevada is legal gambling.
Yes,
what
but
are you
I heard
about?
That this within the city proper of Las Vegas, it's not. Maybe I'm just talking. I can't corroborate this. I heard this probably one time in like junior high or something.
That is I don't know what you're talking about. You can.
I kind of want to know this story.
That doesn't make any sense. You can gamble anywhere in Las Vegas and surrounding cities.
All right. I mean, hell, we all get taught things
in
school. In
the
that
state
are
of Nevada, which where gambling is legal, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah. I remember growing
weird,
up hearing about
weird
how like
one.
You ever heard the whole thing about how the Great Wall of China is the only man-made object visible from space. Except that's a whole load of horseshit.
I recently found out about that and
was
like crushed.
But all it takes is just thinking about it for a second. You realize, of course,
it's not even that
wide.
It makes sense. It's like it's the width you wouldn't be able to. It's just tall.
And we've made many things much wider than the Great Wall of China, much higher than the Great Wall of China. And why would that be the only one you can see from space?
Oh, shit.
It's just not true. But we were taught it in school growing up. And it's like, what the hell?
I don't think I was taught that one, but I definitely heard that.
It was in textbook.
Right next to Vegas and gambling.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was the Vegas China moon book.
Yeah.
Where it just went over everything
like
about China, Vegas, and the moon.
Yeah, it was in social studies. It was like it was a chapter.
A whole chapter.
Three of them, I guess.
I don't remember any of those
Vegas,
books.
China, and the moon.
On a bit of side news, and not really telling you this, I did just recently see right before we got on that Nintendo was suing the fuck out of another ROM site.
Oh, really?
That's what they do.
Yeah. It's like per title that they have is like 150 max. $150,000 per title that they have.
Damn.
I hope they made
if I read it right. Because the amount was staggering. I'm like, I get what they're trying to do here. They're trying to snuff out everybody else that has a ROM site with their shit.
You got to protect their IP.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're re-releasing their IP.
Oh, nuts. I didn't save it.
I've been on PlayStation and so Chris Switch.
There's a reason Nintendo's been a company for like 120 years.
Sure, but it hasn't been a game.
Yeah, but
I
haven't been making video games that whole
time. Well, they've been games.
They started as a card company, which technically is a game. So
yeah.
Sure.
Fuck, I can't find it now. I thought I saved it.
Did you learn it in school?
It was in that social studies book next to your chapter. It was the very next chapter. How did you miss it, Brian?
So the art, I guess the detail of it is that I'm not 100% sure, but they are suing the fuck out of, like, and rightfully so to an extent. This site was charging members $30 a month to download as much as you want, unlimited downloads of ROMs.
And they were old Nintendo games.
No, I mean, they can only get them for their
games. They're
only
going after Nintendo.
Okay.
But ROMs are very, very, like,
Wild West?
No, not anymore. It was Wild Wild West. You could go to a ROM site and just download ROMs from old games. I used to have quite a library of arcade games and Nintendo, NES, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I won't say if I have anymore, but I do. But well, they're not giving away.
If you don't have an NES, that's how I used to play games.
I always remember to have a very, very cool Raspberry Pi setup with a lot of Nintendo games on them. Mm. Sorry, Nintendo, and if you try to come get me, I'll there say that. Really, I'm just kidding.
It was a gift.
It was a comedy podcast. Anyway, I just was like, fuck, they're suing them like this. I don't want to say this poor company, but they're suing this company like to the fucking moon and back. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. That's all.
Yeah. Sure, but they're in their right to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that much money.
They're making an excuse of these people.
Sure.
Briefly.
Give me an example.
Example. What did I say?
Excuse.
Sorry, I'm really.
he's very distracted right now.
And it's bugging me for some reason. Alrighty then. Now, Brian, Lisa does not like clowns.
Lisa doesn't like
clowns. I don't like clowns.
Like clowns. I'm not
because
particularly
of the original iteration of
this
film.
Is not a fan of whores. I don't know why. they got to work. They're pretty. I don't know.
It's just that I don't typically seek it out. There are definitely some horror films I love, but it's just not something.
Like what?
My bag. Let's see.
If you say one Stephen King one, Lisa gets a hit you upside the back of the head.
Drag Me to Hell. That's a horror movie, right?
Action horror, sure.
Yeah.
I think it's more action than horror, but
love.
Wait,
I think that's like a little bit more horror.
Comedy horror still talking. Counts, right? I mean, because I was just about to cite.
You love Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead is a horror movie and a comedy. What else? Cabin in the Woods is a kind of subversion of horror, but
it's
also
it's
horror
a
movie
satire of the.
Sure,
yeah.
But it's a horror.
But yeah,
movie
it does
then,
still
right?
count, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still counts.
There's a lot of great Korean horror movies. Train to Busan.
Oh,
I Saw the Devil.
So you do like horror movies, but you're...
Well, I have to kind of be dragged to them because I just generally don't like... I don't get a lot of enjoyment out of being scared by a movie, which is weird because I love haunts. Like, but like, I don't know. Something about movies, and especially games, like horror games.
Contradicting yourself, good friend. I'm telling you right now, Enrique would love to go see It 2 with you.
Well, I need to see It 1.
He will give you that next week. Right. I have a feeling he probably has that or can acquire it.
Sure.
Yes. Acquire it.
He's already acquired
it. I said this about the last movie. It is one of those movies that kind of transcends the general horror genre into one of those movies that you should just go see.
Unless you don't like clowns.
You can't get hung up on the horror part of it.
Oh, okay. Should we put a spoiler in here?
Oh, sure.
The following contains spoilers for It Chapter 2. To continue spoiler-free, skip ahead to 40 minutes and 6 seconds.
Oh, go ahead and recap it. Thank you,
It's in.
Okay, It is in.
Get it. You guys are hilarious.
All right, so the It movie is the first one was one of those movies where I feel like you got to go see this. One of those movies like Saw or The Shining that it kind of transcends what it actually is. Yes, it's a horror movie, but it's a really good horror movie. It's entertaining. Yeah, there's some scares in there. There's some genuine parts. I'm like, oh, and, you know, seeing it home, the impact is much, much not as bad. Much not as bad. Mm-hmm. It's less. It's lessened.
Sure.
Now, I will say this because we're not reviewing It 1, Enrique.
Yeah, no.
It Chapter 1. We're doing It Chapter 2. And I'm going to say this. I really enjoyed it. There were a lot of parts where I was genuinely like creep the fuck out. There's some parts where you're just like, oh, God, this guy is a monster. Yeah, he's a monster.
I think Pennywise is supposed to be a monster.
Yeah, there's a lot of good scenes in there. Yeah. There's a lot of great scenes. And I don't know. I know there's some criticism on the comedy factor of it, as saying like there's too much comedy right there. But me personally, I was like, you know what? It's fine. It's like it's the same amount as the
I agree.
As the first one. So I don't know why that was so much of a big thing.
It's a clown movie.
The only joke that I felt like didn't stick to land that was kind of felt awkward was playing the music right after being barfed on. I forgot the song it's called. The Will You Be My Angel, I think. No, wait. I can't remember.
Everybody's barfing
when he's
now?
Getting barfed on by the leopard.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they changed the tone with the music, and I was like, wait, what? This felt weird. But other than that, I felt I was okay with all the comedy.
You remember that part? So I feel like it might not even be a thing, but you psych out to you a little bit to you. None of the comedy felt like over the top, like these were all comedians, even though one of them was playing a comedian.
Yeah.
No way. Is that Bill Hader?
That's Bill Hader.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
which I got to say, I love Bill Hader's character.
Yeah, he played Richie the Kid. Amazing. Yeah.
Amazing.
I heard he was a really good match for. He's the older version of Finn Wolfhard, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Nice.
So the kid, he's just got jokes. He's the funny one.
Okay.
Yes. He
it's perfect because he's a comedian.
Oh, Lisa saw the original one. He's the one. He said the Seth Green character. No.
Oh, okay. I remember the kids.
The one,
I don't remember
the
adults.
Whole thing was beep beep Richie because he talks so much. So like beep beep Richie. That's
just
their
stop.
Like stop.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up because he's continually runs his mouth.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
So. I think all the characters cast were really, really fucking good. You know, they got a Big Bill was a fucking I can't remember his name. Professor X.
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy. Jessica Chastain was an amazing cast as well. They even got the what is it? The Old Spice guy, right? Wasn't that the played an older Mike?
Yeah.
The Isaiah Mustafa?
I believe so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. All these characters were. They were really, really good.
Like, I really believe that they were the older versions of these same kids.
Right. In a lot of movies, they're just like, well, they hire the main actor and they hire the kids to that resemble them and maybe have them ape some of the characteristics of them. I don't know.
It's always a tricky thing to do, especially after a successful first one with all the kids that, you know, seem to be really, I mean, I've heard nothing but great things about all those kids. And it's always a tough thing to get a physical match and also a great
character. The kids were amazing.
Yeah.
They were also amazing. This the actors they got to play the older one, amazing. It all fit. I believe all these kids were grown up versions of those characters that they had already established.
And which we also got more scenes with the kids because they kept on doing this thing where like reminding us of the scares that it did to them individually. Mm-hmm. We even got to get to see some of the things that he did to them that we never got to see in the first film.
Oh, that's
like
neat.
The Richie, we never saw a scene where like Richie got scared with it until this film.
That's because these are all filmed after the fact.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying like we never got that.
Right. Portion. And that was one of my complaints with the first movie was like there was a lot of other stuff that they just didn't put in this movie.
Yeah,
I'm like,
which they did now.
Right, they put in now, and they kind of so in the book you kind of shift back and forth.
Past and present.
They go to like to current Derry, and then they remember their times, and they go to current like that. So they kind of did that, picked that up more in this movie, which I complained in the first movie that they didn't have this, but it makes more sense after seeing the second movie. I'm like, okay, this makes sense of how they're doing it, and we can see the kid actors more. My only complaint with the kid actors in this movie was that they have grown up so much. They use de-aging in this movie, and at some points, I was like, that is not that kid's voice. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And to me, it stuck out a little bit.
Has it been that long since they filmed?
Two years.
Yeah. I mean,
the first one came out in 2017, and this one's 2019, so yeah. I don't know when they filmed it.
When they're that young, they make
it was a matter of 3 years,
yeah.
And all these kids went through puberty, more or less, and have their voices dropped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even in Stranger Things 3, we saw Finn Wolfhard, his face has already got that like more manly bone structure.
Yeah, he's a teenager.
Yeah, he definitely and went
his voice,
a change.
You know, his voice probably dropped very noticeably. But they de-aged all the kids in this movie that needed it. And at some point, some of the part, I'm like, well, I can kind of tell. But it didn't ruin the movie in any way. I really think Bill Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He did an amazing take on Pennywise. Absolutely amazing. He was scary, unique. He was he wasn't Tim Curry, but that's not, I don't think, a fair thing to do because Tim Curry did his own thing with mm-hmm. the It character. And Bill did his own iconic take, too, and it's really, really good. I know there's been recently going around the web, like he's showing Jimmy Kimmel?
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert. Thank you very much.
Oh,
how he does the It face, or the Pennywise face, and he does this thing with his lip.
His eyes.
Like, he could pop his eye to make it go the other way. And it is just, it's really creepy and it's really, really cool. You think a lot of it's done with, you know, CG or not or whatnot, but it's him, man.
There are photos floating around of him as Pennywise on the set with Bill Hader demonstrating that. And Bill Hader, and the cameraman got like Bill Hader just freaking out like perfectly.
Well, yeah, there's a story to go with this. Bill's like, oh, the eye thing. How did they do that? Like, I guess they do it with CG. And he's like, and he's like, yeah, you know, boom. He's able to like wander his eye because I guess he has this like, touch of lazy eye or something like that.
Or at least
he's
able to control,
he can control the one eye to make it go. And he does this really, hello. It's almost like Winnie the Pooh, a murderous Winnie the Pooh voice. His it. It's
Which
so interesting to watch.
He described that lip thing as being like part grizzly bear, too.
did he?
Yeah, I remember him talking about that with Stephen Colbert. Okay. He said like it was part grizzly bear, part, what was the other one? You saw
I
it
didn't
too, right?
see it. I just, I saw the
he's
headlines.
He's able to do his lip like this really weird like U at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it just, it's very creepy. it is amazing. That's why I don't think you're seeing people going like, oh, he's not as good as Tim Curry. It's because he does his own thing and it stands on its own two fucking legs. They even made, and I know Bill Hader made a joke about this, but in the first movie, one of the biggest parts people had a problem with is you see Pennywise dance. Mm-hmm. And it's really like kind of goofy. Mm-hmm. Bill Hader takes a poke at it in this movie. He's like, oh, he's making them dance. He does a dance like really mockingly, and the whole audience like laughed at that one.
Which, if you think about it, he didn't see that dance. It was only Bev that saw that dance.
Right.
So how did he know?
He's a dancer. I don't know. I think it had to be for the audience. But,
for the audience, yeah.
The movie starts off, this is another thing that I thought was strange. There's trigger warnings out for this movie. I don't know if you guys have seen this, that
Mm-mm.
the beginning of the movie, just like the book, starts with the assault of two young gay men. Pretty brutal, too.
Yeah.
And that's just like the book, and you know they beat up one of the gay guys and they throw him over the edge, and his lover goes to go.
Oh, that was in the book.
That was the opening of the book.
I did not know
and
that.
I mean, his partners, like, they would ask him like, "What happened?" And the police don't care, but he's like, "He saw a clown take him into the woods." And in this one, you see Pennywise take him and fucking bite him, and the balloons, and it's creepy, very very creepy. But it picks up with the losers later on in life, and that, you know, Pennywise is coming back, and one of them has stayed behind because they made that pact at the end of the first movie. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
okay.
They made that pact at the end of the movie.
I remember that.
And that they would come back if it ever came back. It's a blood pact.
Yeah, where they cut they made a scar on their hands,
right.
to remind them.
But just that it was more symbolic because they don't know this part of this coming up. They cut their hands and they all made a blood pact. But they all scattered. They all got out of Derry. And mm-hmm. in the same as in the book, when they leave Derry for some reason, they forget everything that happened before they lived in Derry. While they lived in Derry.
Mm-hmm. Like they shut those memories away or something?
No, they're just gone.
Like
okay.
Their body has
like some paranormal things going on.
Right. Well, it has something to do with that because they're all successful. Anyone that leaves Derry becomes successful. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can remember this right. Richie obviously is a very famous comedian, stand-up comedian. Bill is a horror. He's basically Stephen King. Bev,
so much so like Stephen King.
By the way,
which we'll get into that later.
Well, we can say it now. He's on the set of a movie when he gets the call to come back to Derry.
Yes.
And before they even gets a call, like they keep ribbing him, like, we need you to rewrite. He's on the set of a movie. We need you to rewrite the ending. He's like, why? And he's like, because we don't like it. And then we find out that most people don't like the endings to, of his books. That he always has to change them in the movies.
Well, sometimes they get an even, I don't want to say better, but, well, maybe sometimes. It's sometimes. Like The Mist. I thought that movie, like, it's added great. a much stronger ending.
The whole point is that they're trying to take a jab at Stephen King that his endings aren't always the best. Which, you know, his are kind of more sad.
Which, by the way, speaking of which, I'm scrolling through the IMDb of It Chapter 2. It is indeed Isaiah Mustafa, by the way. Right. But it also lists here Stephen King as shopkeeper.
We'll get there.
Yeah, okay. Dang it. We were getting there.
Okay,
right.
Okay, sure.
So
James, please do, because I'd like to hear
James
about
McAvoy is the big Bill. He's the Stephen King character. Bev is a big fashion designer. Let me see. They did say what Stan was. I don't remember what it was.
What was which one again?
Stan.
Which one was Stan again? I forget.
The one that didn't make it back.
They did say what it was, but I forgot what he did. But they did say what he did. I just don't remember.
And then what's the other little one's name?
Which one did you leave out? I forgot.
Okay. There's also Ben, who becomes a
real estate
chisel.
Type of.
No, he's a chisel fucking architect.
Architect. There you go.
Because
Ben,
Eddie.
I gotta build those buildings.
Well, because as kids, he was the one that the chubby one that they all picked on, and Pennywise was Piggy fucking, and Henry Bowers started carving his name in his stomach. And then I can't remember the name of the other guy. Jesus Christ.
I got Stan, Richie, Ben, Eddie, Mike.
Eddie. Thank
Eddie.
You.
Okay, cool. There you go.
And Eddie became like a high-risk analyst or something like that. So they all are, mm-hmm. are very well-off, very
successful, most
successful in their life, yeah. Until they get the call from Mike, who's happened to stay in Derry, that it Pennywise is back and they all have to come back. And they're starting to remember.
Like, the moment that they got the call, actually.
Actually, they don't remember. He's like, I felt, and he's like, fear. He's telling them that you were scared because this is what happened. And then they come back to Derry and they all start to remember. And of course, Pennywise is killing other people. There's one really creepy fucked up scene where he eats a little girl by promising her he'll take away she's like a birthmark on her face.
Yeah. Like, basically, Pennywise lures her in by
the Firefly.
Yeah, with a Firefly. But then she at first will say no, and was gonna take off.
Yeah.
But then Pennywise kind of does a fake cry and
manipulates her
into thinking like he's the same as her, that nobody likes him because he looks so different. And that
Pennywise.
And that fucking creepy scene. That got that girl to make a remark about her birthmark.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that lures her in.
It's a very fucked up, very well-done scene because there's this anticipation that they do with the character where he's like, okay, he's on the count of three, we'll blow it away. And he's like, one, two. And then they hang there, and the little girl's like, you're supposed to. And, you know,
and then that's he chomps on her face.
It's
and it
lovely.
Looks violent, too.
But it's
like they don't show much, too.
They don't show anything.
It's just a quick chomp, and that's it. Like, you don't see much after that, but you could feel the violence in that. Like, you could feel like
Pennywise is creepy. He gets the bully to come back, which I thought was dead in the first movie, and I was always like, why did they kill him? He's not supposed to be dead. But he comes back in the next
movie. To be honest, I felt like that was a little bit of a weaker thing. Like, he was barely had an impact, basically,
in this movie.
Yes, movie.
So in the book, if I'm remembering correctly, he actually got one of the losers. I don't know why.
I remember
they,
in the miniseries, he actually he took out somebody.
He stabbed him,
and he basically wasn't there in the final fight.
He stabbed Mike in the chest, or I believe, or something, and then they took him to the hospital, which I think he died in the book, but I'm not positive. I did leave out Stan. They stunned Stan and cut his wrist because he's like, he was just too scared to face Pennywise again. Anyway, they come back and they have to fight it again, and there's stuff in between where they have all their personal flashbacks. A little weird thing. I was like, I don't know if I care for this part, but I still enjoyed it. Was the tokens? They all had to have tokens of what something of that amplified or exemplified their fear from Pennywise. How do I say this? So, like one kid had a coin from an arcade
thing,
where I didn't know that they did this, that they're gonna do this, but they put a subplot of Richie being gay, which I'm
that
like,
was not in the book though, right?
That was not in the book, and they played it through the whole movie, which I was like, that adds another layer to this character, I guess.
I think it was a good layer.
I think it worked out fine where it didn't feel like pandering or like we need a gay character. It felt like a very natural thing for that character.
And put some more weight on the reason why he was so upset at the end, which we'll get to that later.
Right. I think it fleshed the character out more. Mm-hmm. But he had a coin from the day he was attacked by Paul Bunyan, which doesn't sound like really that scary. Because
it's Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan. So in their town, for some reason, they have a statue of Paul Bunyan, and I don't know if it's Babe, but I think it's maybe Paul Bunyan. But in the book, like, Paul Bunyan attacked him, and he attacked him in broad daylight, and no one did anything. I think that's what made it a little more eerie to me.
Well, because it's broad daylight, you would think someone would stop or do something.
No, they all basically stopped.
They all like just didn't move. They were almost like all part of it.
Frozen, but they were watching him get attacked. But it was, it was really spooky. There's another one. Bill got his bike back, which they didn't really focus on much in the first movie, but his bike is called Silver, and he got the bike from very Needful Things shop where Stephen King was the owner. And it's, I think this is actually an actual story, if I'm not mistaken, but Stephen King went somewhere to buy something and the owner recognized him. This is a very common thing. And they're like, you know, how much is this 25-cent pack of gum? And they're like, $40, because you can afford it.
Wow.
You know, I'm not, it wasn't a pack of gum, it was something else. But they do that in this movie where the shop owner, Stephen King, recognizes the Stephen King character. And he's like, how much is it for the bike? He's like, for you, $300, because you can afford it. He's like, well, and he's like, before he even says yes, he goes just and gets like the bike. No, he's not very nice to that character. He takes the bike down, he's like, here, because you're going to buy it. And he walks back, and sure enough, he buys it from him. But it's a really, really good scene.
Yeah, not just only that. He also tells them, like, do you want to sign autograph?
Do you want me
to
sign? Because he has one of his books there. He's like, do you want me to sign it?
Has he cameoed in his movies before?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
But the best part of that, he says, no, I hate the ending. I was like, really? You got him to say it?
Yeah. He's like, it's a really meta conversation.
They do a lot of, meta jokes.
That's cool. It was really good. And it wasn't out of place. Like, this movie was. I don't understand, like, the after criticism, because it was all pretty good. This movie was really good. It gave you the right amount of scares. It gave you the right amount of character development for six lead characters. Mm-hmm. Actually, now that I say that out loud, I think that the Mike character, which is the guy who stayed there, was a little underdeveloped. But all in all, I think really good movie, really good characters. We didn't get to the final battle. I don't know how much. I mean, we did say spoilers, but Eddie dies in the final battle with Pennywise. And with that, we find out there that possibly, I guess Richie has always had a. Loved him or something. I mean, they never say it, but he's very personally upset.
Yeah, but when you look back on it, you can kind of see it, because like all of their banter was always towards each other, and it was like you could kind of see, that could be at least one sided love. Banter.
Yeah, there's this part even that I guess as a kid Richie carved his initials and Eddie's initials in like the lookout, the makeout. Tower or something like that, make out bridge or something like that.
So it wasn't really presented as an unrequited thing, I guess, until the end. Or
it says it's not fully explored. It's more left for you to fill in the blanks. But it feels like it was something that, because when Eddie dies, like Richie's the one that's there with them, and he's like, it's very touching. It doesn't feel like, come on, man, you gotta live. It's like he's losing. Something, really, you know what I mean?
Something more.
Yeah, and it's sad. Like when he dies, it's sad. I don't know how else to say that. It's a really good movie. They get a really decent adaptation of the book. I mean, if you like the first one, go see it. I feel like this is the perfect companion movie to the first one. Like these two movies together is a really good story.
Yeah.
Period.
Do you think in the end that it worked better to separate out the story the way they did? Because I understand the book would intercut. But obviously the movies were kind of part one, part two.
Well, see, the first movie did a part one feeling to it. The second one felt more intertwined of the whole story.
Yeah, since you got scenes of the younger kids.
Right.
There. Yeah.
So I think that format worked better. My only, I keep saying this, but another minor complaint was that we went and saw it and we got to the theater. I'm like, holy shit, it's blankety blank, a clock. The movie was almost 3 hours.
Right.
But you didn't feel it. Good.
I didn't really feel it, but there's points where I'm just like, I guess I was anticipating it to be more condensed because I didn't think they'd make an almost 3-hour movie.
Sure.
Oh,
how long was the first one?
But
it's like 2 hours almost.
Okay, all right.
But the second was 2 hours and 49 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
from start to finish. That's fucking long.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to a Lord of the Rings fan, so that's like.
How long? Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I was. Well,
it's about the same. Like,
well, it depends on which version you watch.
Extended editions only.
Because if you watch the extended editions, like I do, because I'm a nut, they're like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
For one movie?
Yeah, yeah. Return of the King is actually over 4 hours, but that includes the credits, which is the credits for the really long.
But like the regular theatrical cuts are all around 3 hours.
I don't know what cuts you're talking about.
It's okay, Brian.
Seriously, I can never go back to the theatrical
cuts. It's okay. I understand. I'm the same way.
What were you saying? Ask me.
What were your thoughts on the final version of It, basically? Like,
I think they did the best they could. Like, the deadlights and, you know, they even send the book, like, it is like he can't really take a form that we know. So like the closest explanation was like a spider creature.
Giant spider. Is it? But
is it still a spider creature?
So it's like got the body. It's like a spider tar. It's like it crossed like spider legs and butt.
To me, it felt like it worked better.
So it's like the
worked better
than what?
Spider, just a plain spider creature.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just a plain spider creature.
Right.
I feel like this is a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you can go with that, yeah.
Is this like Spider Darth Maul? Where he's like,
centaur
Darth, like
kind
spider.
Of, yeah.
Yeah, but just not metal legs.
Sure. Yeah, it's more legs.
So like the alien. Stock, kind of, from Saga?
Can you describe it?
She's like a woman's body, but a spider.
Oh,
back
yeah,
end.
Okay, yeah, I've seen
it. It's her body part was Pennywise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So like her face and
also I kind of like the fact that they didn't have the whole slingshot thing in there. I kind of like that idea that
the
spear, but at the same time, them making fun of it at the end.
Well, the spear was to get him to depower. Like they had to figure out something.
They had to figure out something, but I guess
the spear the spear was fine because they didn't have the slingshot, and in the movie they didn't have a slingshot. They had the cattle gun, which they didn't use in the final thing anyway.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember in the last movie. I didn't. You remember the last movie that Mike had the cattle gun?
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know what I mean? But they had like, we only had like six shots or something like that because he had the carbon, the what's it called? The CO2 cartridges.
Yeah.
And then they lost it with Bowers. So, I don't know. I thought the movie worked really well. There's some genuinely creepy parts. I didn't watch it through my fingers, but Beverly's part really was really, really fucking creepy to me. With the in the apartment,
yeah.
I thought they did that.
I'm actually kind of hate the trailer now because like they kind of spoiled most of that for that. But at least we got a little some stuff new. Which also one thing that kind of was a weird edit for me was the whole Herp taking off the panels and reading the note, and then right away going to her talking to the lady in the kitchen. I'm like going, oh, okay.
Whole scene is obviously. You guys probably won't see it. Well, no, yeah. I don't know how much more room for Brian because are you honestly interested in taking going through the read? Because that would be really.
Well,
awesome.
I'd want to see the first one first.
Okay, so if he can get it to you by next week, would you go see it at the Waltz in theaters?
I love it. It's my responsibility.
It is.
It's all right. I mean, I don't necessarily have to see it in theaters. I can see that.
I don't want to see it on the air.
I don't mind. I'm like, look, I'm not. Like, please feel free to talk about this. I won't mind.
Because the whole scene is obviously it. It's obviously Pennywise. So any of that stuff that she did was part of her almost a fantasy. So I thought it was fine. It was acceptable.
Yeah.
Personally, that was one of the creepier parts of the movie.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I thought it backtracked, but I think it was interesting you bring up Lord of the Rings because I feel like Lord of the Rings was the opposite thing that they did narratively from adapting the book. Because you remember how it told, you know, Eric, like all the stuff that happened in Rohan and everything separately from everything that was happening to Frodo and Sam.
Yes.
And narratively, that did interesting things in the book because you didn't know that other story until you got that other half of the book.
Yeah.
But then for the film, I think it worked better to intercut the stories.
Yes.
Whereas they took the intercut book and split them
apart.
Movies,
so. Yeah.
Yes and no.
Well, the first half, yes. Yeah. The
Again,
second half, not
the
really.
First half is gloriously filmed on just the kids, and it amazing.
And obviously,
those
they hadn't cast the older actors yet.
Are fucking no. And two of the actors, I think that they even said they got cast. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah.
One other little thing is like, what did you think about that whole thing about like the guy who ended up killing himself,
Stan?
Having
how they
reason,
had at the end.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being in the book, and it was kind of cheesy. But
I didn't like that. To be
none of it
myself.
was none of it ruined the ride for me. Yeah. Nothing ruined the ride for me, that movie. Yeah. Anything. Okay, that was our review of It Chapter 2. Go see it. Enrique and I both loved it. We're going to make Brian go see us.
Yeah.
I would honestly make Lisa go see it if I thought we had a chance. But
no.
Lisa loves clowns.
Lisa doesn't like ranch, so.
That's why she's not seeing it.
There's this spider ranch scene. Oh, my God. Fucking scary. All right, let's move on. You,
oh yeah, that's me. Well, right before it,
and he even got my wife with this one. So
oh, this is attached to it.
Is that why it had all the balloons?
Yeah.
Well, partly, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So and basically, they show like the first WB logo and the balloons coming up.
You and the music.
Think that it's like, oh, okay, the film is starting. It's getting ready to start right now. Right.
It's got the music and it's got the silhouette.
Oh, it's got the music from it. Okay.
The thing that tipped me off was. Then all of a sudden, DC logo came up. I was like, wait, what?
You didn't know it was a DC property?
No.
Stephen King wrote for DC.
No, it was an ingenious way of putting the trailer for Birds of Prey right before the movie It.
Which is a bit of a surprise. I don't think anybody knew about this trailer coming up.
Well, no. Lisa and I saw it a couple days before. Okay. But the balloons are all coming up like It, and then all of a sudden someone takes a swing at him with the hammer, and she's like, I'm so fucking tired of clowns. And it's Harley Quinn.
Harley, yeah.
Oh, is that what she was saying?
Yeah.
Because I don't
think
we heard. I didn't rewatch it.
Okay.
But I didn't understand the context of it.
I'm so fucking tired of clowns. That's what she says.
So fucking over clowns. Something,
see, something that,
like
I saw that trailer out of context.
I know.
Okay.
Well, see, I thought that trailer out of context from knowing that it was attached to It, but I obviously knew from the balloons and what and her being saying I'm fucking tired of clowns that it was a playoff of It.
My wife was like, "They're making another one already," and I was like, "And he's like, you know, I didn't say anything. I'm just like, and you know, as soon as Harley came on the screen, a couple people clapped in the audience and people were like, "Yeah, like it's Harley, man."
But I love it even more now that just given that like I thought it was just an arbitrary reference to a current popular movie. It's like, oh, they attached this to It Chapter 2.
Yeah, it's like that makes sense.
Fake people out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's attached to the move, right?
And it's got a little.
I would argue it worked. As we know, two people we know we got
totally.
Got,
yeah.
Plus, that line totally has like even more meta relevance because she's breaking off from the Joker in the story, you know, which is good for her. So.
That whole joke is multi-layered.
Sure.
It's a fun thing. Then we get a bunch of cuts of the movie, which is very short.
Yeah, it's a very teasery, very quick cut.
We
trailer.
Do see a smiling Obi-Wan.
Yeah, black mask.
I gotta stop doing that.
He's not wearing his mask though.
He's
or at least not yet.
Not yet.
So, but they're definitely they're showing off. You got Ewan McGregor as Black Mask, and there was you see a good shot. It's like half a second of Cassie Kane. You see like Renee Montoya like beating up dudes.
You see Huntress. You see I forget her name.
Black Canary. Yes.
You know, you get a get another shot of Harley. You see Montoya, and you see the Black Mask. I feel like I'm leaving somebody out, but that's fine.
It's probably I mean, it's such a quick cut.
It's such a
sizzle
quick
reel.
Trailer. I'm surprised you even could tell who was in there. I couldn't tell anybody.
Well, I know who the characters are playing, and I know
in the
context they were shown.
Sure.
Like Mary Elizabeth
Winstead. Yeah.
Is playing Huntress.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's a rather badass shot of her and Montoya and Black Canary kind of walking together because it's essentially like from all I know of the plot, it's like them teaming up, I guess, to sort of rescue
the Birds of Prey. I think right now are like a Harley. No, it's
Huntress,
Catwoman, and fuck. You know, it's
just
very
like
fluid.
Just like the teams. There's always it's very fluid. There's
right,
new people join, other people leave.
I mean, it could be it very
it's hell. I mean, Wolverine was an Avenger at one point.
Sure,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah, I think he was.
Everyone's been an Avenger.
No.
Except for Spider-Man.
A lot of the X-Men haven't.
Spider-Man's been an Avenger. I just love the ongoing gag of like him just always wanting to be one.
Deadpool's been an Avenger. So.
Has he? Really?
Yeah. Captain America gave him a
what does it even mean to be an Avenger anymore? They're just going to hand the badge to
anybody? Yeah.
So, I don't know. Deadpool was, after the movie especially, like he became very popular. So
sure.
He was popular before that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, Birds of Prey. Not much to go on, but I'll still see it.
And I feel like it's our first official actual teaser trailer because remember we got that early teaser, but that was really just shots of them taking character shots. Like
right,
like they hadn't even started
warehouse.
Production. Yeah,
like
exactly.
In their
it
costumes.
Was like costume fittings.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 Like hey, let's put this footage out there.
It's like Birds of Prey: The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I don't know.
I'm coming around to that title.
I think it's, well, it's a subtitle. It's like she, well, you saw it. Well, I'm telling you, like, you've never seen it.
Actually, like the way
she,
the way
she's like
the
wrote
logo.
Into it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty fun. Anyway, okay, we got to keep moving. Lisa's like informing we're getting ready to half our point. But Face Off. I asked Lisa if she's ever seen this movie. She said no, which I was shocked.
Really?
What? Yeah, I was just.
She too hates it too, like
young
Ranch.
Well, when it's it
not
came
a,
out.
It's not a good movie.
But you got to get what? Face.
You were literally the first person I've ever met that said it's not a good movie.
I think it's an entertaining movie. I don't think it's a good movie.
Great action movie. You are crazy.
Are you serious? Does anybody
well,
really
I have to agree with that a little bit. It's not like it's not,
you,
like something that could win an Oscar or something like that.
It is,
but
why
it is
not?
Cheesy as hell, but
it's
entertaining.
But it's entertaining as hell.
That's
it's
like
fun.
Saying, that's like discounting the Fast and the Furious. Oh, it's not going to win Oscars. Who gives a shit?
Well, sure,
no,
but
I'm
I just
saying,
remember
but I'm not
like,
saying, like that's what I'm saying. Like it's not something that's going to be held in high regards, but it's going to be fun.
It is maybe one of the most
fun action movies.
It is maybe one of the most. One of the most legendary titular lines. I want to take his face.
Tons of
off.
I can eat a peach for hours. Another
oh,
one.
Oh, I love that. They
who
eat
has
a, for
a
hours.
Chin like that? It's ridiculous. You know, they have so many fucking good lines in that movie. This movie is very, very fucking fun. I think you're crazy to say it's not a good movie.
No, it's
you
not
are
a good movie.
Entertained
I think it's fun.
From beginning to end. If that isn't a definition of a good movie, like,
but
what
he's
do you.
He's not saying it's a bad movie.
I think I just found
saying.
The.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
I think I just, when I first saw it, like, and granted, I haven't revisited it.
Were you 12?
No. Well, I don't remember. Like, it was, I mean, it's a pretty hard R movie, but it's.
Yeah. Well, there's that whole scene of him actually. No
it was
face.
A John Woo movie, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, and well, I just remember finding it just incredulous. The whole like really like if you just remove the skin off of like.
Well,
Jesus
look,
Christ,
look, look!
Brian.
If you're not gonna go with the premise of the film, it's not going to work.
I'm just saying, John Travolta and Nick Cage have very different bone structure.
No, it's the same. You just
so they address that in the movie.
Yeah, they talk about how they added love handles to him.
They add implants in the face to give them the different structure. They even change their voices with the embedded voice.
They come out without not looking at all any saggy or with scars at all. Like it's just perfect.
They address that in the movie as well. They address all of this. Like you're finding. Also, the stuff they already address, they address all of that, and it's literally from it's Nicolas Cage as bad guy and John Travolta as good guy to a switch as undercover, and it's fucking amazing. It is classic Cage doing his bullshit lines, and Travolta, God, I mean, you get John Travolta again as a fucking fun guy. Like,
I mean,
a good fun role.
It's a great premise. The whole thing, like, it was such a secret project.
See,
that,
you're
like,
flipping everything. It's a ridiculous premise that is fucking amazing. That is so stupid.
But
of
just the whole idea, like, I definitely like as silly as it can get. Like, you can feel the tension when, like, because it's, you know, the whole idea premise behind it is that all the scientists and the surgeons behind it, there's so few because it's supposed to be like a undercover operation.
Right.
So there's so few people who know about it and. They all get killed.
There's like five people.
So it's like nobody knows that these guys are not them.
Yeah.
It's I think it's great. It's so fun. Like sure. I don't know how you not like this movie,
dude. I just said it's entertaining. I just think it's stupid.
The premise is stupid. It is. I'm not arguing that. But I mean, it's just a fun action packed ride the whole way through.
Why are we talking about it?
They're remaking it.
Ooh. Which I don't know if they can model that same magic twice, but we'll see.
John Woo?
I don't think they can. Like, part of the movie, the main reason this movie works is John Travolta and obviously Nicolas Cage with his bullshit. I want to take his face off. You know what I mean?
Going
like
crazy, yes.
You can't get past, and no. John Travolta, he's maniacal at some points. You know what I mean? He's just like.
They really ham it up in those roles.
Right.
Those actors.
In the best possible way. They've Nicolas Cage and Travolta it up.
Yeah.
and there's no, currently, I can't think of two actors or actresses that you would insert in these roles that would be as polarizing and in such an absurdly wonderful way.
Remake it with the same dudes and with John Woo.
You have my money. Like they literally remake the movie. I'd even
with
watch
extra
it.
Extra Dove.
Almost shot for shot. Like that would be amazing. Yeah, I just can't think of anyone who would want to re-see this movie, especially when the first one is still, you know, loads of fun.
I mean, studios like to throw around that word a lot, remake. I mean, are we sure it's a remake? Maybe it could be like a sequel.
I hope not. The beauty of this movie is how ridiculous it is.
I mean, but you could have John Travolta and Nick Cage maybe reprise their characters.
And since this movie, like,
but which ones?
We've got Mission Impossible movies where, like, we've seen this type of, like, disguise, you know, swap before, mm-hmm. so it doesn't feel as fresh as it would at that time. Sure. It was part of the novelty of the movie.
Yeah. If anything, I actually think that like John Woo's Mission Impossible, which was 2, I think he and look, all the Mission Impossible movies, I get it that the masks are a staple of them,
yeah.
but he did it well, 6 times in that movie. 6 times.
They did what they were going
to
do.
Sure, but at some point I started to be like, I don't trust that any character is themselves anymore. Like, you can't do this gag that many times.
I mean, that movie was, the second one is my...
You like
second
replacing
least
faces.
It's the second one is my least favorite.
Yeah, likewise.
It's my second least favorite because I really didn't like 3. I absolutely despise 3. Fucking dumb.
That is my favorite one.
I'm sorry, but it's fucking dumb.
Get out of
and
the
then
car.
4th came in. And what was the 4th one? Was that Ghost Recon or
Ghost Protocol? Ghost Protocol. Oh, yes.
That was pretty good.
The Brad Bird one. Yeah, that was
And then the one too. After that, I'm like, fuck, this is good too.
It's pretty good, yeah.
And then I just saw the last one recently. I'm like, these are pretty good.
They're
like,
fun. I
yeah.
love them.
Yeah, they're fun action movies.
I know every time I go and see them, you're like, you went and saw that? And I'm like, yeah, I like them. I don't know if I can believe Tom Cruise. I don't care. It's fun.
I just said that this last time because I don't believe Tom Cruise can do that shit
anymore.
The
crazy thing is
he keeps doing it.
I remember
and,
watching.
Really doing it.
Yeah, I watched Mission Impossible 5 uh-huh. and totally thinking that airplane jump scene was green screened.
No.
And then later I found out, no, he really did it.
That.
It's like, then what was the point of doing it if I couldn't tell?
I think we talked about that, like him and Henry Cavill like practiced yeah. that stupid
jumped
scene.
Out of a fucking plane.
Mm-hmm. Like they did like 300 jumps or something stupid like
crazy.
That. No, what I'm more talking about to the point where Tom Cruise runs for 25 miles yeah. and is like able to fucking still fight and not have to catch breath. I think that's utterly ridiculous as well. But it doesn't matter.
He does in every movie.
Face Off remake. I'm not with it.
I'm for it. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Let's move on. We gotta move on.
Okay, well, moving on to Final Fantasy VII trailer dropped. And at first, I was the same as Lisa earlier when we were talking about it. Like, yeah, another trailer. Why don't I just bring it out, right?
Well, they've been throwing this around for like a million years, it feels like.
Well,
why
not? It's their biggest property.
My first instance was like, yeah, they keep throwing out another trailer. But this
Isn't
one
this
was
like the
so
only the second trailer? There was like
it's
a teaser,
like
years,
one,
man.
I think, or fourth.
I think this is the second trailer.
I
found it really
double check.
Well, they've been promoting it at least a
they've
lot.
They've been
yeah.
promoting it sure. for a very, very
sure.
long time.
I find it amusing, though, that this trailer is labeled as the gameplay trailer because it's still like 95% cinematics.
Well, it's in-game
well, no,
cinematics.
But it's in-game, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
in-game cinematics,
yeah.
and you do actually
gameplay.
Do say
there's
gameplay.
A lot of gameplay
okay.
in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they show you a lot.
Familiar gameplay, and if they familiar, and they're like, oh, I remember that. Oh, yeah. I remember that. The
That's
fucking Turks.
Like, this trailer was so phenomenal.
Yeah.
It felt like a new entire game.
But the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's weird to say that.
No, no.
Because
there's a scene when the Reno from the Turks comes in. He's you know, he's got his little stick.
Stick,
and,
he's like, and he does his little attack and stuff like that.
And
yeah.
I forget what the bald guy's name is. He's one of the Turks. But like just mm-hmm. having them in the thing, like, oh my God, that was so cool.
Yeah.
That was very, very cool. I like that they reverted to actually calling her Aerith. I thought that was neat too.
Mm-hmm.
Did they not call her Aerith in the original?
No.
Well, the original one didn't have any voice cast. It just,
well,
I think it
there's
was...
that too, but in the original Final Fantasy, American version of Final Fantasy VII, it was Aerith.
Aerith.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Huh.
I don't
remember.
Oh, because
it's just different romanization of the Japanese.
So
terms,
the when the would you call it normalization?
Romanization.
Romanization.
Yeah. Putting it into Latin characters.
It's just it was a mistranslation. Yep. I think other characters
like
retained
Godzilla.
Their names, but just they mistranslated hers from Eris.
I think it's
to
more
Eris.
Like just to make it so Western audience can say the name a little bit more proper. Maybe
yeah.
that's what I'm saying.
Was it
it's
similar
different
to another
very,
character's
very
name?
They're almost identical. It's just
I mean, that's why Godzilla is
Gojira.
Named Godzilla instead
yeah.
of Gojira.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Different
Gojira, I could say Gojira.
I'm like 90% sure it was a translation error, but it doesn't matter because in this version, it's Aerith.
Okay. Which I think most people know her as Aerith now, right? With the TH.
I would argue that most Americans are Aerith.
Okay.
I remember going to see Wreck-It Ralph, and I was one of the only people that laughed, like, because they had graffiti on one of the scenes that said Aerith Live, and everyone was like, that's not what they're talking about. I'm like, that's the Japanese. That's the real version of the name. Anyway, doesn't matter. I thought it was beautiful. It was a beautiful, like, they have my money. They have my money.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to buy day one.
Money yet, but I'm going to, when I have extra money, because I'm more or less broke these days, I'm going to pre-order the fuck out. I might get the deluxe version. I don't know.
Whoa.
I know.
Oh, with the motorcycle?
Slow down.
Is it one of those ones that comes with a statue?
That's the rich bastard
version that comes with a statue.
I think that's the rich bastard version. There's the another version that's like has a steel book and you get like an extra.
A medium version.
DLC or something.
Well, that was like $200, if I'm not mistaken. But there's one that's like, you know,
like $80.
I don't know if that one. Calm down. Fucking statue. Mira, this one.
You don't want a cloud on a motorcycle? Is it cloud on a motorcycle?
Yeah,
it's cloud on a motorcycle, but I do, but.
Sure. That's, where are you going to put it?
Where am I going to put it? And like, that's a lot of extra gonna play money.
That's a bad thing.
Right in the living room, man.
That's an adult collectible.
That I get a glass fucking case for or something like that.
Yeah.
But the Final Fantasy VII trailer, it looks, I mean, what are we expecting? It looks amazing.
Yeah. Like I don't know. It to me, like, the biggest part of it, like, I think it features a little bit more of those sub characters that we never really got the fleshed out in the original game, which, like, Shinra, which is odd that he's never been fleshed out really too much.
I don't remember. Yeah, they had that part where he's a hologram.
Yeah,
I don't remember that being a thing.
That's in the game too, but like, it was like such a weird little thing. Oh, and they brought back the brothel theme.
Yeah,
I did not think they were gonna do that.
What do you mean?
There's a certain.
Okay,
scene.
So
is that spoilery?
No, it's a good shit. If you don't play Final Fantasy VII by now, you're fucking dumb. There's a scene in the original Final Fantasy VII where, and people were like, they're not gonna bring that over.
Yeah,
that they have to infiltrate a brothel, and the only way to do that is they have to. you have to collect articles of clothing and like lipstick and shit like that, or heels.
Yeah.
The weird part was being yet acquire underwear, but it's not Tifa and Aerith that are, they dress Cloud up, and the Cloud gets selected as the girl to go and, you know, party with this guy.
Well, Cloud's a very pretty boy.
I guess so. They made him very pretty.
Which in the old, you know, PlayStation graphics, it didn't matter much. I wonder what they're going to do with this one.
Well, I mean, look.
The way it's described in the original one was like, either he looked like, you know,
everyone,
guy in drag, or he actually did look hot.
I mean, who knows? Hey, but
is there anything wrong with that?
The models, no, was there?
No, but I'm just saying, like, visually, will we see that?
We'll see. I mean, what rating is this game? Are they keeping things family friendly?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be teen, right? Ray Chamberlain.
I think it was teen.
You can get away with a few things on teen. Sure. Teens can see a little.
I mean, it's not going to be the models look amazing. Or something. That'd be weird.
I mean, the everything looks fluid. Kind of it looks really good.
That's what brothels are for. Yeah.
When I saw this as a kid, I didn't even think that was a brothel, to be honest. Yeah. I didn't know what to think of it when I was a kid.
Collecting panties.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't played it.
I don't know if you had to collect the panties either. Like, there are some optional stuff, but
wait, what was that? Panties were optional.
Panties are always optional, Lisa. That's the name of this episode, Panties Optional. All right, we got to move on. Final Fantasy VII, give it your money. Brian. Right,
so moving on to the Disney Pantheon. We haven't talked about any Disney news.
Oh, no.
But this is official, basically, because Variety broke this news and all the trades picked this up, that Oscar nominee Hailee Steinfeld has been offered the lead role, or a lead role at least. You know, the lead role is probably Jeremy Renner, in the upcoming Hawkeye series for Disney Plus, and they confirmed it is indeed Kate Bishop.
From Pitch Perfect to Bumblebee, Bumblebee. I'm sorry, Pitch Perfect. Well,
True Grit.
True Grit was her first really big break.
Yeah,
which we got the Oscar nomination for.
She
should have been nominated for Best Actress, not Best Supporting Actress, because she's the main character
the main
of the
actress,
fucking movie.
Yes.
But whatever. She.
You think she's the main character, not Matt Damon, or
she's
the main female character, by far, the most screen time
over Matt Damon
in True Grit. Yeah,
what's his name?
You've seen True Grit?
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah,
both versions.
Yeah, that's why there was all that controversy. Like, why is she supporting actress when she's the main character of the movie?
Right.
But anyways, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Hailee Steinfeld is an amazing actress, and she's going to be
Kate fucking Bishop, again,
the future Hawkeye.
Pitch Perfect 3, she was in Bumblebee, she was the voice of Spider-Gwen yes. in the Spider-Verse movie. She has cred in the geek
world.
That's
true. This is not her first foray in Marvel, although the first foray into the MCU specifically. But hell, I mean, I can't wait. I mean, I think she's incredible. I think she'd be an awesome Kate Bishop. And, you know, if everything is, I mean, everyone's kind of expecting the Hawkeye series, which they expect to be 6 to 8 episodes, a miniseries, a passing of the torch. You know, I don't know if, you know, Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye is going to die or anything. Who knows? But at least it's fair to assume
he's
that
go back to the farm.
Sure.
And did they say in the last one he's retired? Before,
I think
he's tried to retire.
I mean,
he finally got his family back, so it's like, look, guys.
The last Avengers movie,
done.
They made it pretty clear, like, he's done. Like, he lost his best friend / sister.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want to call her.
Yeah.
He lost and then got back his family. So it's like, I'm sure, like 99.9%, he is done.
I have a feeling the story will begin with him kind of going like, I'm fucking done, but then he'll reluctantly take up a protégé.
I hope that's literally the line.
I hope he says,
fucking done.
First F-bomb in the MCU. It very well may be a passing of the torch type of thing, and I think it's not unreasonable to expect Hailee Steinfeld to play Hawkeye in future Avengers.
Sure.
Movies.
Well, the chat is that they're going to do a young Avengers, which, okay.
Oh, yeah, because, well, Kate Bishop is a young Avenger, yeah. So
I know very little about Kate Bishop besides she's the female Hawkeye. Like, I have
is sure. she his daughter or someone? No. Okay, no. Completely different. Okay,
yeah, which is why it was a little up to debate. Like when they had it in the movie.
Yeah,
before we knew that was his daughter. When we saw it in the trailers that there was a girl. It's like, is that Kate? Is that his daughter? Are they merging the characters? But it seems like Kate Bishop is being treated
as a
separate character.
Cool.
Yeah. So maybe she'll.
Oh, she's a legitimate? I don't remember. I don't know anything about Kate Bishop beyond I have issues with her in it, but none of them are just to her character. You know what I mean? There's just
nothing about her origin.
Well, just nothing, a character beyond her being I'm Kate Bishop Hawkeye. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's all, that's the information you need to know. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even that alone, I would love to see Hailee Steinfeld become the Hawkeye of the future Avengers movies. And, they got to have an archer, right?
Why?
I don't know
why we have to have a normal human archer here, but okay.
Well,
that's why I love that joke in Age of Ultron.
Normal
is
debatable.
There's fucking aliens everywhere, robots. I got a bow and arrow.
None of this makes sense.
This is insane.
Right. I love that movie. Anyway,
yeah, that's a great movie.
Hawkeye. I don't know. It's hard to get excited about this character.
Me too.
I don't know. I just really, I mean,
I really like this actress.
Jeremy Renner and Hailee Steinfeld are two of the most
best actors. They're
actors
really good.
Around.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea of them doing fucking archery show. Shoot shit.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to do with the Hawkeye series?
I don't know. Okay.
Shoot targets?
Yep. Shoot, yeah.
All right, well,
move on.
Yeah, that's a target.
For 8 episodes. Just
I got it.
Now you are Hawkeye.
Oh my God! Okay.
High five. So we're getting a new version of Monopoly.
Another.
Yes, but this is Ms. Monopoly.
We get versions every year.
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the one version, and Lisa called it. I'm just like, people are ripping this one.
Understandably, I guess that would be expected with something like this, but
okay.
I don't know.
You better clarify understandably, buddy.
Sure.
I expected it with this because they've changed. It's the internet, and it's someone else's perspective on something, so oh my God.
And
everyone freaked the fuck out.
And I anticipate there are going to be people going this is going to ruin. Like, no, the original Monopoly will always be there.
It will
there
always
for
be
guys.
There.
There's one guy's I'm going to pick it up just because I guess he collects Monopolies.
Oh, that's neat.
Sure.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people are ripping this one. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
What's
this
the concept?
What's the concept? I'm going to shut up.
The concept is it's Ms. Monopoly. So, basically, it's the Monopoly character sort of handing this off to his niece, at least according to the article.
Oh, I didn't know it was canon.
Yeah.
Fucking canon.
I didn't either. But it's about female empowerment and just kind of throwing things in Monopoly a little differently. So it deals with the wage gap.
It's always been a boys' club.
Yeah. It deals with the wage gap and that.
Club.
But it throws it sort of on its head, where if you're a female player, you get more money than the male players. So you start off with $1,900. If you're a female, and $1,500 if you're male. And then it also, the gap keeps sort of growing every time you pass go, in a sense, because female players get $240 every time they pass go, well, male players only get $200.
It's reverse.
So it's like my life.
It's reverse gender gap.
I love
it
that.
It is.
I love that.
I thought it was kind of interesting, too, but people are genuinely, like,
I'm sorry,
questioning
you're upset.
A gender gap,
well,
first
then
of all.
Don't get that game.
Like, and one
I mean,
guy,
it's like the
someone,
original Monopoly will always
I've
be there.
I've seen people, like, quote The Guardian, like that there's no gender gap.
That's
the Guardian
not true.
Is,
there is a gender gap. A gender
well, that's,
gap.
That's the thing.
It's,
this
it's
is a non-debatable.
Smaller,
there
but
will always,
it's not the same.
And there will always be that vocal minority of people who want to debate the even the concept of the gender gap, but which is why
I
think
work
people
at McDonald's
to,
and I don't see it. Of course you weren't going to see it at McDonald's.
Sure.
Well, not even if you see it. Are you talking to your colleagues and finding out how much you all make?
Right.
Because unless you do that shit, you're not going to know.
I applaud Hasbro for doing this. For one thing, like for any of those people crying foul, it's not replacing Monopoly. This is a new one of the hundreds of different versions.
Yes.
A fun version that is also just really bringing home the discussion about the gender pay gap,
and
Hasbro essentially acknowledging it's
this
a thing.
This
game is
going
to flip
like
it on its
it,
head.
Just don't buy
this
it.
Is
if you don't like it, maybe
it.
Try to fix it.
And also,
I don't know.
Also, one of the things I love about this is that it's apparently like
it's
a lot of
to be
the
empowering.
Not just empowering, but there's a lot of things in it that highlight things that were made celebrating female trailblazers, like a lot of the inventions and stuff in that are built into the game, like they mentioned, like chocolate chip cookies and bulletproof vests, things that were created by women. You know, like
it's instead of real estate being in the game, they've taken that away and they've replaced it with inventions and innovations, and they're all going to be ones created by women, which is really cool because women have contributed a lot, swept under the rug.
I like the educational 100%. Value that this game will have for a lot of young girls who will be playing this.
It's amazing that people are, and I hate focusing back, but I'm just, you know, it's the internet, I know, but why would you tear this down? Like, I just
because
don't it
threatens
it.
Them. But that's really what it comes down to, is it threatens them and their way of thinking and their way of life, even though it's just a fucking game.
Sure.
That too.
And I love that they say that this is the one that ruins Monopoly. Is like, but like Pokemon Monopoly or Cheaters Monopoly. Or
good version.
Yeah, like
Electric Monopoly.
All those are like
I have one.
They
that's
all find a little different
perfect,
way.
Yeah, are perfect
to change and play
like,
with.
Are
the game.
Are they caviars? The caviar?
I have one that's like big like a transformer tricks. Piece, and there's like the Coke, like it's big, big companies or big merchandise, something. I don't know. There's so many weird versions of Monopoly out there. Simpsons, Game of Thrones, like why does this not have a place in the fucking pantheon of Monopoly?
Because involves women.
It involves something that is an
and
actual...
And men are threatened by us.
And there are guys out there who just believe the gender pay gap is a fiction. And it's
like, how do you do that? Like, if even a simple Google search, like
because
the first
thing
that pops up is
because
when
you find one woman that doesn't fit that, then it's all women.
It's unbelievable. It's frustrating and it's disappointing. You know, I'd like to think that
I mean, obviously, the women passing go making $400 more than the men.
40.
40? Yeah. Sorry. So it's not even that much. It's 40 fucking bucks. But it's like, but you know,
it
obviously that puts men at a disadvantage
in
the
realm of what it is.
Mm-hmm. But this is, I feel like this is a game that's more designed not necessarily to be like a fully sustainable version of Monopoly, but it's also educational. Like, I love this quote from the from Hasbro's senior director of marketing, where she just mentions, "We made sure this felt like an authentic and was a fun game families could play and learn about these things that they love and that are part of their life that they didn't know were invented by women."
You know what? Mm-hmm. I don't really buy Monopoly games, but I'm gonna make it a point to go buy this one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool.
I think Harley would enjoy that and could learn some
like
new things.
That's something
another
that,
2 years.
That everyone was like saying, like, "Oh, I'm not buying this." Like, guess what? I mean, you're just making everyone else buy it.
I'm gonna buy the fuck out of it. And I don't buy Monopoly games usually. I mean, I realize I've said I have other versions, but I feel like everyone has like a version of Monopoly. Like, oh, look at this, and you pick it up, and maybe you play, maybe you don't. I don't know. I know we had the Pokemon version. I think had different rules to it.
Yeah, they all have slightly different rules to fit
from like early 2000s.
Yeah,
canon.
Sure.
Of whatever they're
puts a different spice on the game.
Yeah,
sure.
Because really, I don't know. Does anyone still play board games anymore?
I do sometimes. Like, I don't even think anybody played that much Monopoly
anymore. Well, some people really shit on the game Monopoly itself. Yeah. Monopoly, oh, it takes fucking forever. It's like, well, I don't know. I think it's fun. I enjoy it.
It's really the only, I only really play the original version of Monopoly.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you play it with that weird rule that everybody else has sort of added on where you, where all the taxes go in the center and if you land on free parking, it's like jackpot? Yes.
That's not a weird rule. That's
that, I thought that was the
it's
rule.
It's never been an
right,
official
but
rule.
But most players play like that, so it's not weird. You're weird for not doing it.
I feel like...
No, I do it. I just find it amusing because like, I always thought that was, oh, it must be written into the game. And then I read somewhere, it's never been a part of the game.
It came up in the internet within like the last 5 years that like, that's not a rule, guys.
Right.
That and the Uno one.
It makes it fun.
Yeah, I remember the Uno one.
What's the Uno one?
You can't, it's like if like you reverse or something, you don't have to keep drawing a card until you get that color. It's like you draw one card and you move to lose your turn or you move on or something like that.
Basically, you don't keep drawing over and over
until you get a card,
you get your card and color.
Like if I don't have any red and I keep drawing until I get a red, that's not how you...
No, you have to move. You draw your card, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
I find the jackpot rule kind of funny.
I don't know that rule, but the jackpot rule. I swear, I have read that rule.
You haven't.
Okay.
Well, in the Monopoly game.
Either way, I find it kind of funny that that's a thing, just because like I feel like the number one complaint people have about Monopoly is that it takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just remove that jackpot rule, people are going to bleed money faster. It's a way to sustain the game.
I haven't heard any like. It takes too long. Like, but don't
really?
Board games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, then
it doesn't matter. The only board games I play are like Pump the Pig or fucking Ants in a Picnic or something.
Well,
the
like
only thing I associate with Monopoly is it's the one game where everyone fights with each other.
Sure.
Because someone's always.
And you know what? The way I feel like if you're not cheating at Monopoly, your heart's not really in it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're sitting right
next
to the banker, like bank robbery.
I never did that.
No.
That's really fucked up, Brian. I'm never going to play Monopoly with you.
I know.
Let's move on. Lisa, what else? What are the news you have?
So Margot Robbie apparently likes to make movies with her company.
weird!
which I guess she would.
Fucking strange.
Well, she keeps making, I want to say, pro-female films. Because she did, I think, I may be wrong with it, but she did the one with like her and, is it Sansori? Saoirse Ronan. I'm like, we just talked about this.
About her name,
As the Mary Queen of Scots.
Yes.
Something like that. I think she greenlit that one and did it. She's doing a Shakespeare one. And then she made sure that Birds of Prey got made. And now she's working on Tank Girl. Her
you guys remember original?
She's officially producing,
at least
right?
I saw the, mm-hmm. the movie.
Yeah, she's not.
I never got into the comics.
Starring in Tank Girl.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance she will be, which I kind of hope she doesn't, just because I love that she's making all these films and they're very female centric.
Sure.
No, but it's get
all
the women
in there.
It'd be
a little self-serving if she's always putting herself in there.
Yeah. I mean, you're still going to make the big bucks, and I know you like to act, and she's a good actress, but it's just like at the same time, give more people opportunities. That's part of what this is, right?
I feel you. Considering that the announcement is that she's producing,
But I wouldn't fault her too much because, like,
I wouldn't
kind of
fault
see
her.
That is a big a good fit for her to play that character. I could see that.
Yeah.
Well,
in any case,
how she plays
the news
it.
Isn't that she's casting it, but that she's producing.
She's
it.
She's producing
you know?
It.
Yeah.
Most people attribute her to be a proto Harley Quinn because, well, I shouldn't even say proto because the other version came out before her, but Lori Petty did a great job of being an obnoxious, what was she, Bandit?
Still never actually seen
like
it,
that.
But
if you haven't seen it with the fucking kangaroo dude,
I don't know anything about
it. Ice Cube is the kangaroo. Oh my God.
I've seen clips of it, and it looks pretty zany.
It was.
It's Malcolm McDowell, right? He's the villain.
Bad guy?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't remember
him being that guy.
I just remember the
Ice Cube with the kangaroo peep guys that travel on the ground. Good stuff. All right.
But it's such an iconic comic.
I don't know what the movie's perspective. What the hell? I forgot about that. I'm like, what?
I mean, I heard a lot of bad things about that movie too, but at the same time, all the more reason just do a new version.
It's like Face Off. It's a movie that's entertaining.
Yeah, leave your brain at the door.
It's quirky. Like,
quirky.
I don't know. I'm not going to defend Tank Girl.
But hell, I love that concept. It's a girl in a tank that
sure.
she also lives in. Goes
yeah.
around blowing shit up.
Doing shit, yeah.
It's like a it's dystopian future,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's it for
sure. Sweet.
All right. Last topic. Which
right. Last little bit of Disney-related news. Yeah, well,
well
basically.
Update.
More Disney.
Yeah, we talked before about the very sad development of Sony and the and Marvel Studios and Disney, Disney basically looking like they were parting ways. And it seems like there's a nail in the coffin with Sony coming out and saying that their collaboration with Disney seems to be over for now. It's Sony's CEO Tony Vinciquerra that opened up recently at a Variety Summit, saying that, in his words, he said, "For the moment, the door is closed." So it seems like we can pretty much expect that deal to be done. The MCU will no longer feature Spider-Man, and Tom Holland, although he's contractually obligated to be in two more Spider-Man films, but that deal with the MCU was done as a Far From Home. So at this point, it'll be kind of up in the air exactly what they do in Sony's run. You know, obviously, they are developing Venom 2 with
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, but Andy Serkis directing, and it's not out of the question necessarily that they might try to fold him into that movie.
It wouldn't surprise me to not just fold him into that movie, but into the whole.
Sure.
Adjacent Spider-Verse they've been creating.
I think it would just be disappointing given that, you know, obviously they made Venom without being able to feature Spider-Man. It's like you didn't put Spider-Man in the Venom origin movie, which like Venom's origin is so tied to Spider-Man.
Well, technically, then, from what I understand, he did have a cameo in it and they cut it.
Holland?
Yeah.
Oh. Huh. Interesting.
I don't know if I saved that article. They cut it. Keep talking more.
Did Disney say no, we can't do? We're not.
I don't remember who
this?
Cut it.
Well, Vinciquerra had a few other comments to add, where he just mentioned that, you know, he said we had a great run with Kevin Feige on the Spider-Man movies. We tried to see if there's a way to work it out. The Marvel people are terrific people. We have great respect for them, but on the other hand, we have some pretty terrific people on our own, and Feige didn't do all the work. Which, I mean, that's a fair point. I mean, obviously, and Into the Spider-Verse was obviously a Sony production without Marvel, and that movie was fucking amazing. But who knows?
Yeah, I think they're riding high from that, and I think Disney overreached a little.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll come back to the table when someone shames them into it.
Sure. I mean, they're basically saying, you know, it's not, you know, like he said specifically that it, you know, for now this is the case. Obviously, things could change down the line, but in the meantime, Sony they have no plans to slow down their Spider-Man efforts. You know, Venom sequels on the way. They've always had like 5 or 6 shows and movies, you know, in some form of development, and they might, you know, start really spearheading those, given that the MCU projects are over now. So we'll see. I mean, obviously they're still developing Morbius. Spider-Man could show up in that, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess Jared Leto's still attached to do that.
So
and
far.
Then, yeah, we'll see.
Disney and Marvel didn't want the two franchises connecting to each other, so they ended up pushing Sony to drop the cameo. That's probably where the original comment from Amy came
from. Oh, yeah, where Amy Pascal and Kevin Feige were interviewing next to each other. And Feige's like,
knowing, like, I don't want this. I don't want to do this.
What you're talking about, lady. I'm just going to stay.
Right. It said they didn't want to confuse people because they wouldn't be in the same universe, so to speak. And I guess Feige knew at, like, Spider-Man deal was only limited time, so to speak.
You know what I want
to
see happen?
He only did it. He was only able to do it to make it happen for, basically, for the team
War?
Of movies, right?
Yeah.
You know what's never going to happen, but I'd still kind of like to see is like a live action Into the Spider-Verse with like the three Spider-Men. Like, bring back
cool.
Andrew Garfield
and Tobey
Maguire and Tom Holland and have.
I don't
all,
need to
like,
see that because I only like two of those Spider-Men.
Or even like, I wouldn't mind them even somehow being folded into the Spider-Verse sequel. Like, I wouldn't. I'm not opposed to the idea of them doing like a Mary Poppins sequence.
Sure.
Where there's like where they break into Earth 616 and you see like Tom Holland for a second. Like, what the hell?
I would actually be shocked if they didn't have like the Spider-Man trio in some way or form in the next Spider-Verse movie.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
they almost did it the first time.
The first one wins an Oscar, and they obviously got a green light. They're gonna fucking pack.
And the
it
first with, one, like, yeah. Basically directly referenced the Raimi films.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, it wasn't like, you know, on the nose, but it was like,
no, it
for
was
people who
very
knew, yeah.
obvious. Like, yeah. A lot of those scenes were like, hey, that's
the car, the finger pointed, the kiss.
There was the car from the punch. There was the subway scene where. They're the subway.
The finger guns, the dancing. We don't talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're talking about the train where he's holding
right, the train back.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
That was
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that.
I could see them doing meta stuff like that. You know, with the,
they did do it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, even further with like even like with Andy Garfield involved and
fuck that
Toby
guy.
McGuire maybe.
We don't need that guy ever to come back.
Why do you hate him
so?
Because he did fine.
I don't hate him. That's my biggest complaint.
No, that's not what you're saying.
They're just so on the in the middle. Like they're nothing to write home about. They're nothing to be. And then, and in my opinion,
so
a lot of times
the actor?
That is a lot of fucking. Like that's almost worse than being bad. A lot of times, forgettable is almost even worse. Because at least if it's bad. At least if it's bad, we can sit here and go like, "Oh my god, the finger fucking pointing." But if it's like Andrew Garfield run the mill, you're like.
Yeah, but that's the writing, though, not him.
I don't think he. I don't think he. They gave him two shots, and he wasn't polarizing in either one.
I think he was the best, in this, I don't know, at kind of getting
obviously
the
wasn't
quippiness.
The best.
No, sorry.
anything.
I didn't.
He wasn't the worst. That's the sucky thing.
I don't blame him on this. I blame more the writing of this. I didn't like his Peter, but I liked the quippiness that he brought to Spider-Man. Like that moment was like, oh my god, tiny knives.
Knives, yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, they got better because one of my major problems the first Spider-Man is like he wasn't quippy enough. He's like, he has such stupid lines when he did talk, and it's just like
he's just Peter in a suit,
right?
Yeah.
And the second one, they try to add more. I'm like, you get a star for that,
sure.
But it was never like. That's Spider-Man. Never. I mean, they had some scenes where he looked like Spider-Man.
Emma Stone as Gwen was great, but obviously they
I forgot she was even in that movie.
Obviously now they got Hailee Steinfeld as Gwen, so.
That's right. She was Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the whole thing about the second one. They tried to do that whole, like, the Gwen Stacy death. Well, they didn't try to. They did.
They did it.
Like, because it was such an iconic moment in the comics, but people were like, this is such a shitty movie, though.
The second Green Goblin? Did they even do the original?
I don't know. They didn't even do. I mean,
I
mostly shut the second
goblin?
Movie out of my memory.
I forget why did he turn the goblin.
Spider-Man stuff.
Sure. All
right.
It's pretty shit. Spider-Man stuff.
All right. That was Geek Pop for this week. I'm Big Chris.
Lisa.
Brian.
And Rick.
When your geek has just been popped.